Turn it, leave it, stop, format it, buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it.
Today on a very special That Computer Show, we are going to answer the burning questions that plagued nearly every cookout on yesterday's 4th of July. Why is my computer so slow? That's right, happy 5th of July, listeners, where nationwide people are eating reheated bratwurst and eating chili and chips for breakfast. I'm looking at you, Betsy. Hello, groupies, fanboys, and haters alike. This is Steven.
And this is Chris.
And you're listening to episode 52 of That Computer Show, your source for the latest in gaming and technology news. Today we're going to cover some great questions that Chris and I encountered in our respective 4th of July family gatherings. Yeah, when the computer guy shows up at the cookout, the computers come out.
Yeah.
It's, we both have some fun stories about that. We're also going to work in some other news and garbage during the show if we get around to it. I don't know, something else. Wow, here's a conspiracy theory for you. In the wake of Time Warner's bandwidth capping test, we talked about this a couple shows ago.
Mm-hmm.
We'll reheat that one. argument that bandwidth caps could actually lead to internet service providers profiting from software piracy.
I beg the question. I think that was their intention all along.
One might say. Now, I've talked to a couple reps at Time Warner who... Actually, I'm getting mixed reports, but we'll go into that. We're also going to take your call-ins at 803-742-1230 and get your questions answered. And comments, if you've got any good ones. If they're really stupid comments, definitely call in, because it'll probably be better than what we've got. Break out the bottle rockets. That Computer Show starts now.
Bottle rockets indeed.
Yeah.
I didn't get to see any great fireworks this year. Not really upset about that. I was at the store last night, and all you have to do is stand on Lake Murray Boulevard, and they just go off around you everywhere. And it's really cool, but nothing spectacular.
I tell you what was funny is, you were inside playing Call of Duty 4. I step outside to go to my car, and it was like someone was playing Call of Duty 4. There was like the fog of war. I couldn't see the Arby's across the street because of the smoke and the haze.
Bombs bursting in air.
It really was. Yeah, it was like I've played this game way too much. It's real, man. It's real. Game over. Yeah,
finding yourself ducking between the pillars.
Yeah, I was weaving and dodging to get to my trunk. It was great.
Yeah, strafing a little bit there.
But I did level up. I'm like level 42 now.
Excellent.
So, yeah. All right. So at the cookout, my family, I love them, and I hope that they're listening right now. There's like 20 people there. It's chaos. It's madness. We're cooking everything we can get our hands on, just, you know, grabbing stuff, throwing it on the grill.
That's what you do, 4th of July.
Yeah. Clothes,
ham,
floaties, it doesn't
turkey,
matter.
Chicken, the neighbor's cat. You know.
I'm not going to make the obvious
garden
joke.
Gnomes.
Oh, those cook up well. Yeah.
Yeah, they smell funny.
So I start getting questions. And actually some really good ones. I wrote some of them down. And we're going to cover them because while I'm making fun of my family, because I love them, they had some really good questions, and it really represented, gosh, like the top 20 or 30% of questions that we get every day.
I also had my family, who I haven't seen in quite a while, they're driving up from my hometown to Charlotte, and they stop in Columbia. I haven't seen a couple of these family members in like 10 years, and, you know, it's hugs and kisses all around, and then, hey, can you look at my notebook? It's like... Oh, sure.
Yeah, well, it's great to see you after 10 years.
That's she took it into, my little sister took it into the restaurant we went to go have dinner, and let me tell you, Sticky Fingers is good.
Not a place to work
not
on
a place
computer.
To work on our notebook.
Mm.
So
it's greasy. Okay, so I'm going to field a couple of the questions that we got. One was from a recent addition to our family. Tom had a question. They've got some old computers. They're newlyweds, and they're, you know, paring down the collective. The futon's got to go, and that cat's got to go. And they've got a couple computers that are old. They don't just want to throw them out because, you know, computers have mercury and lead and like uranium and, like, you know.
Unobtainium.
I have a real hard time getting that element.
Yeah, they have a bunch of dirty stuff in them as far as trash is concerned. You don't want to just throw them in your local landfill.
And on their hard drive, you know, if he's gone to Amazon.com or if he's bought something from Amazon Unbox. Or
there was your plug right there. You had to have it, didn't you?
There's all, but you know, credit card numbers, stuff like that. So his question was, what can I do? Now, a lot of states will allow you to throw it into a dumpster. We don't recommend it unless they have a dumpster marked specially for
electronic
stuff. But the hard drive has all kinds of gobbledygook on it. And we've all heard the stories about, oh, you know, I brought my computer to Best Buy, they refurbed it, and then now there's, you know, naked pictures of my cat on the internet. So
I think I've seen that website. It's very disturbing.
That's like bonsaikitten.com. Mm-hmm. So what I recommended was bring the computer to us. where we can get all your information. No, kidding. What we do at the store, we have a utility called D-Ban that basically performs a government level or better wipe of the hard drive.
Yeah, and that if that is if we were going to actually reuse your hard drive, or if you wanted it back, or if we were going to you know, donate the actual wiped drive to a nonprofit. We have another utility that we use for drives that are too small, and it's a 16-ounce ball peen hammer.
Yes, very effective.
Where we disassemble the drive and then smash the crap out of it. It's very fun.
Yeah,
and
basically,
I recommend it to anyone.
So basically, what we're going to do for Tom's hard drives, we're gonna wipe them, then we're going to take them apart, and then, for extra security, we're going to shatter the little platters that store that. So not even the guys from CSI Miami are going to be able to get this data.
I don't know. They're pretty resourceful on those TV shows.
They are. Okay, so maybe the guys from CSI Miami.
I vacuumed it up, the Dustbuster, and ran it through the spectrum analyzer. You got all the ones and zeros and separated them. And
then there was some cool music by The Who.
Yeah.
And then some 3D effects.
They won't get fooled again.
Yeah.
So that's the first one. Now, I've got another one. And I don't know really if I can help with this. Let me back up. Well, two of them. Okay. My AVG keeps popping up and saying that it's expiring. What should I do?
Dun, dun, dun.
This is easy. You're probably running the free version of AVG 7.5.
Which I'm running that on my computer at home.
I am too.
I spend so little time at my computer at home that I'm very guilty of just going, bug me later. Bug me later. Because I spend maybe 20 minutes in my computer checking my email right before we're going to sleep.
But if you are a responsible citizen and not a slacker like Chris.
Like me.
There's a little button on there that says, no thanks. You don't click that. You click the one that says, yes, upgrade. Now, it's going to take you to a web page that is going to try and sell you the paid-for version. Because it's a paid-for version. But if you go to the bottom of the page and if you read carefully, there's a link that says, no thanks. I'd like to upgrade to the free version. I have to give AVG mad props. They are giving people free upgrades to the latest version of their antivirus software. With free updates. Now, they're trying to sell you the regular one, which is...
I recommend if you can part with $35.
Yeah, it's $35.
And I recommend it because AVG, is hands down, is one of the best antivirus applications that I've ever used. Now, they were in the news earlier, or on the tech news earlier this week, about some of the activity of their user agent scanning utility.
Mm-hmm.
And some website blasted AVG, calling them a slimy antivirus software because they were blasting all this fake traffic.
Mm-hmm.
But what that fake traffic does is try to identify what sites are malicious or
right.
not. So the fake traffic is it's so little as far as how much data is actually being transferred. No pictures or images. It's just small amounts of text to see if these sites are even legitimate or if they contain malware. We see that constantly. People
yeah,
going to the
does,
wrong site. And you click on the wrong thing. Next thing you know, you have Antivirus 2008 installed on your computer.
My goodness, yeah.
And you got all kinds of pictures and pop-ups, and your computer's slow, and you've got a whole other thing to deal with.
What that basically does is in your little Google search, it pops up a little green, you know, this is safe or this is suspected. And I love, that's one of my favorite features of AVG8. So basically, click the no thanks, I want to upgrade for free. It'll uninstall your old software, update to the latest one, and then you're all set. You're cooking with gas. Unless there's no more gas in your propane tank, in which case you have to go next door. And anyway, okay, so that's how you fix AVG if you're getting that pop-up. Now, the next one, you're going to love this one.
Am I?
My son wears a tutu. Where can I go for help?
Well, for those that don't know what a tutu is, you could go to wikipedia.org.
Oh, and get some research on what is a tutu.
And get some research on the tutu and when and where it comes from. And
find that it is actually socially acceptable in a lot of arenas for guys to wear tutus.
Yes. And if you don't live in that kind of area and you think it's, you know, it goes contrary to social norms in your particular area, then you would probably do a Google search for, I don't know, misguided youth
therapy. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that they just threw that one in to screw me up, but if not, we'll talk after the show. Okay, I got another one. I am a big crackhead and thinking of starting gaming, but I am afraid it might be addictive. What are your thoughts?
Yes, it will be addictive.
Yes, crack is bad.
Substitute an energy drink for that.
Yes, caffeine is a very good substitute for crack.
Caffeine and usually some type of baked corn product with artificial cheese powdering,
Ooh,
such
yes.
as Cheetos.
Flaming hot Cheetos.
Or the habanero hot Doritos.
Oh, wow,
the
yeah.
The spicier, the better. And wash that down with a Monster energy drink or Cherry Balls.
Cherry Balls.
What?
Yeah, that's such good stuff.
Excellent. And
or
I
Geek
do,
Beer.
Or Geek Beer, Balls, yeah. Root Beer. And then try your hand at some of the greatest games I've ever played. Call of Duty 4 is still
mm-hmm,
on my top.
Mm-hmm.
World of Warcraft is getting a little stale, and it's refreshed later this year with Rise of the Lich King.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. Age of Conan is still a little buggy.
Little violent. I tell you what my pick would probably be, especially if you're a crackhead, you're probably in some way involved with the music industry. Rock Band.
Rock Band owns my soul, yes, dude.
It does.
It's so fun.
They made me sing Blondie last night.
I missed that. Thank
you. It was painful.
I was hanging out with the fam. My dad, he's a national champion crappy fisherman, which kind of sounds like an oxymoron, but it's not.
He's a good fisherman of crappy.
Of
fish.
Well, the fish called. Anyway, he's also a pretty accomplished drummer and guitar player, and he was blown away by the game. He was intrigued and sat there and watched. It was great. So.
Yeah. So, stop the drugs. Stop the madness.
Substitute with caffeine and video games. Your life will be better.
Okay, so we've got time for one or two more before the break. Actually, this is a good one, Chris. And these are all legitimate questions, believe it or not. My family, oh God. Does Windows 98 support Linux? But no, this is a legitimate question, because there's been a lot of talk of Linux in the press recently. We talk about it all the time. You talk about it, geez, all the time.
Okay, let me field this question. If you have a computer that's running Windows 98, you can probably run Linux on it instead. And then you might be able to run a lot of your older programs on Linux. Linux would be more secure, probably run faster, but there's going to be a pretty steep learning curve.
Yeah.
Because, let's face it, it's different.
It is.
And so in some respects it's better, others it's not, but it's different. And yeah. And you and I were talking about the subtleties of the user interface.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something from top to bottom, left to right, or up, whatever.
Yeah. So to make a short story long, Windows 98 is your operating system,
mm-hmm.
or it was 40 years ago. It's what all of your programs run on. Well, Linux is also your operating system. We might get to that a little more in the break. Actually, yeah, it looks like we're getting ready to hear some awesome music. I love our theme music. It's very, very hip and nifty. Anyway, that's going to be the end of segment one. After the break, we're going to break a bit of sad news. Led Zeppelin will never be in Guitar Hero or
what?
Rock Band. Lay Sigh. Yeah, it's
oh,
true.
Oh, so I don't have to worry about somebody breaking out in the Stairway to Heaven?
Yeah, we'll tell you why after the break. We may also regale you with tales of the RepRap 3D printer. This thing is awesome.
Oh, cool.
We're going to take your calls, 803-742-1230. Listen in on WOIC 1230 Columbia or stream us from thatcomputershow.net. Call us. Get in on the action. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Backaches and headaches. We all have them from time to time. For some, backaches are a part of everyday life, and those with headaches know how they hamper just about every daily function. You've also tried every medication and remedy to rid yourself of these problems. Well, today, there's a solution. Dr. Gene Garris of the Garris Spine Center. Dr. Garris is a family practice chiropractor. As a specialist in back-related spine problems, Dr. Garris first listens to you and your problem and takes the time to find out about you and your lifestyle. Medication can solve the problem, but Dr. Garris will find out if it's the right medication. Many related head and back problems can be traced to the spine, the highway from the head to the tailbone and the lower part of your back. The Garris Spine Center is the leader in spine-related problems. Whether you're 5, 15, 35, or 75, you don't have to live with back pain. Not when we have the specialist at the Garris Spine Center. Call Dr. Gene Garris for an appointment and start living the life you want again. The Garris Spine Center, 790-1850, 790-1815.
Have you heard about Valpak.com? It's the online version of the famous Valpak Blue Envelope with even more great offers. At Valpak.com, you could find savings for your home, coupons for eating out,
table for two,
or maybe even discounts on gardening services. Every day is different. Sometimes Valpak.com has savings on long-distance service. Other times you might find discounts on long-distance travel. To discover today's savings for yourself, just log on to www.valpak.com. Enter your zip code and start browsing our online coupons. Depending on when you visit Valpak.com, you might find savings on pet care, car care, or even hair care. You could come across a coupon for martial arts. Or save on CDs from the top of the charts. At ValPak.com, you're in control. Just click the coupons that interest you and print them out any day, anytime. So, how does that sound? ValPak.com. There are more savings online for you.
You know those cool special effects that make digital photos look like film strips, oil paintings, or pencil sketches? Ever wonder how they're done? Well, I'm about to let you in on the secret. Graphics professionals do all that magical stuff with one little click using plugins from Alien Skin Software. They've been making photo filters and design plugins since 94, and now they're making them available to try for free for 30 days. Download your demo for Adobe Photoshop, Photoshop Elements, or Corel Paint Shop Pro plugins at alienskin.com. Alienskin.com.
Palmetto Gold and Punt is giving you cash for your gold. Gold is at a 24-year high, so don't hesitate to get your chance to cash in. At Palmetto Gold and Punt, you can get cash for kinked or broken gold chains, class rings, unwanted wedding bands, dental gold, or anything made of gold. Palmetto Gold and Punt has five locations in Fort Jackson, West Columbia, East Columbia, the Northeast, and at Dutch Square. Palmetto Gold and Punt.
Touch it, bring it, pay it, watch it, turn it, leave it, stop, format it, buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it.
And we're back. You're listening to That Computer Show on WOIC 1230 AM or streaming live from thatcomputershow.net.
I was listening to Daft Punk.
Okay, you're listening to Daft Punk on That Computer. Whatever. Speaking of listening to Daft Punk, what about Led Zeppelin? You like Led Zeppelin?
I did a lot, actually. Yeah. I grew up on the stuff.
Hey, mama, gonna... yada yada, Stairway to Heaven, all that good stuff. Well, I got an article here, kind of breaks my heart. Despite the success of Guitar Hero and Rock Band, you won't see Led Zeppelin's iconic tunes pop up in either game anytime soon, according to the Wall Street Journal.
I actually read this article and it was kind of interesting and sad. Yeah, Jimmy Page does not want you to does not want these companies to have access to the master recordings.
Yeah, which, I mean, I can in part understand. These are the master recordings. This is, you know, the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah, but you make copies of the master recordings.
Well, yeah.
I suspect that this is a conspiracy theorist in me. That,
oh, boy.
Maybe there's something they don't want to hear. They don't want people to hear in these master recordings.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like what?
Well, I mean, let's face it.
Freddy is the devil.
Led Zeppelin is some pretty overproduced rock music
from
back in the day. They relied heavily on a lot of editing to make some of the most awesome rock music to ever blast across the airwaves. Got to give them props on that. But there might be stuff in those recordings that they don't want us to hear. I got to be honest, I ran a recording studio for a while, and people screw up a lot.
Well, yeah, this is true.
And we would take this take and part of that take and mix it in.
Well, I mean, there'd be some confidentiality stuff that would go into it. But, I mean, I could understand. So what you're basically saying is that if Led Zeppelin really, their master recordings suck?
You've heard of the drunk curve?
Yes.
Like, you start drinking and your pool game improves until you hit a certain point. It's sort of like that in recording studios with artists and other things. Yeah, sorry about that.
All right.
Had a little technical glitch.
Well, I don't know. It's interesting, but either way, we're not going to be seeing any Led Zeppelin or hearing any Led Zeppelin. Beatles either. You don't hear anything about Beatles stuff.
Yeah.
And there'd be some fun Beatles tunes to play.
There would be.
So, I don't know.
There's a lot of music that I would like to play in Rock Band that's not in there.
Yeah. But, you know, with Guitar Hero 4, you're going to be able to add in your own songs.
That's really cool.
So I'm really excited about that. Now, granted, we're not going to be playing like the Teddy Bears or Gnarls Barkley tunes, but
why not?
I don't know. How long do you think it'll be till Chocolate Rain is converted to Guitar Hero 4?
Are you kidding me? That's going to be
Chocolate Rain. Yeah, and 55. Someone's going to have to do a cover of 55.
Yes, by something X.
Project X?
It's Group X.
Group X.
Group
X. The Saudi Arabian band who's actually from Georgia.
From LA, yeah.
That's cool stuff.
It's Saudi Arabian rap music.
So, have you ever heard of the Rep Rap, Chris?
No, I haven't. I've heard of the Rap Rep.
This is not like a weird, you know, Run-DMC thing. No.
Baseball cap sideways.
Oh, yeah.
Long t-shirts.
Gold, big clock on my shirt.
Hey, he owns that clock.
He really does.
Flava Flav owns that clock.
Okay, Flava Flav, if you're listening, props. Okay, so I got a machine here called the Rep Rap, and it's kind of cool. I'm looking at this from theguardian.co.uk. It's a great British website for this kind of stuff. It is basically a machine that is a 3D printer.
Oh, cool.
And the inventor is saying that theoretically the machine could reproduce itself. Basically, the rep wrap, you give it a pattern, and it reproduces the item in plastic. We've heard of 3D faxes and stuff like that, where it, you know, it little laser, you know, it cuts it out. Basically, this guy is saying that with the right materials and the right information, you could rebuild the machine by reprinting portions of it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now, that's not really feasible, but let's say you've got a toy that you really like, and it breaks. And you don't know where you're going to get another left thigh for your G.I. Joe action figure. You scan it in, do the rep wrap, reprint it, put it back together with a little super glue. Voila, your kid never knew the difference, and you're a good parent, and you don't hear screaming and crying for a week because G.I. Joe got broken. Again, I'm going to blame my sister.
And my silly grin can be explained in a moment.
Okay, yeah, you did have a kind of a funny face on there. Anyway, so that's kind of the concept behind the rip wrap. Now, we've seen this kind of thing in movies and in sci-fi shows and stuff like that. But I'm trying to find, there's a cool soundbite on here. It looks like it was first assembled in 2006, where he basically built a prototype from a prototype using the rip wrap in 2006. He took the device. What is that?
Mandalorian dance.
Okay, Chris, you just completely derailed me. You got to explain to people what that is.
I was researching stuff for the show, and one of my favorite sites, Gizmodo. I love this site. They love gadgets so much, it's unnatural. That's their slogan. And it's sort of what happens when you combine Boba Fett, Flashdance, and fireworks. And
what?
Ladies and gentlemen,
can you give the address real quick, and then we'll post it to the site. Oh no, Chris! It's Boba Fett doing Flashdance, people.
It's so awful, but I can't stop watching.
Wait, give them the address.
You go to gizmodo.com.
Okay, it's gizmodo.com.
And I'll link to it. But if you go to the second page, it's right below the really cool electric kettle from Japan. And I'm sorry, just watching it makes me giggle.
Okay, we've got to get the show back on track
here.
That's He's so talented, Boba Fett is.
What was it again?
It's
Gizmodo.com. Gizmodo.com. We're going to post that. That's awesome. Okay, now, this is a holiday weekend. A lot of people are traveling. We all know and love the TSA. I got an interesting report here. There was a survey done recently. Guess how many laptops are lost at United States airports every week?
Two.
More.
20.
More.
11, 3.
Did you read this article?
I don't know.
10,000 laptops.
Holy.
Every I saw what you're almost about to say. Every week, 10,000 laptops. Well, actually, it's the same laptop lost 10,000 times. The guy has ADD. He's not. No, really.
I know that one guy.
More than 10,000 laptops are lost or stolen each week at U.S. airports, says a security industry executive, Richard Steinen, in a blog at networkworld.com. He cites a survey conducted by the Pokemon Institute. No, it's actually the Ponemon Institute. It's a monitor of privacy and security issues.
And small little yellow creatures.
Yes, Eevee and Pikachu. About 65% of them are not reclaimed. And half the laptops contain confidential corporate information, says the survey, which was sponsored by Dell. I don't know if that illegitimizes the study, but 10,000 laptops, people.
They probably fell into the manila envelopes.
The MacBook Airs.
Have you seen that?
Yeah.
There's a hoax video that this gentleman put together for Dell to ship all computers in these manila cases.
No, I haven't seen
from
that.
Apple. It's hilarious. And
I did see the laptop bag that is basically a stylized fabric manila envelope for your MacBook Air.
Yeah, and it goes for $300.
Yeah.
It's also a fake, but man, it's a great fake.
Yeah.
So
So 10,000 notebooks. Okay, so I'm going to give everyone traveling, especially via airplane, a piece of advice. Don't lose your laptop.
Take it with you. Carry on, man. Carry on.
And hold on to it with your grubby little hands. Laptops are expensive.
Yes, and they're very personal. You can have all your bookmarks, all your pictures and photos and movies. And
Yeah. Here's what you do. Tether it to your child, because you're not going to lose your child in an airport.
Well, I don't know. In this study, how many children are lost every week in an airport?
Okay, well, that's a different study. But, I mean, I don't know. Put them somewhere you won't lose them, like in your pants. I don't know. 10,000
laptops. Well, if you had an MSI Wind NB.
You could.
You could put it in your pants. So, those things are... I actually saw a video review of a pre-release model in UK.
Really? We're getting ours soon.
It's so cool.
And it's funny because they were listening to one of our past shows at the house over the weekend, and they heard me say break wind, and they all looked at me and they're like, how can you make fart jokes on the air?
Well, it's... I don't know. It's
fart jokes on the air. Break wind. Ka-doom-tsh.
He'll be here all week. Try the veal.
Tip your waitress. Try the veal, ladies and gentlemen. So anyway, 10,000 laptops. No laptop left behind. Why don't we try that on for size?
Yeah.
Wow.
Did you see this Acer gaming monitor they're touting?
No, but are those flames?
No, it's just orange. It's Lamborghini orange. And one of the best comments was on here is that it's been proven that orange is the color of win. And if you make your entire product orange, it will be full of more win, and therefore better.
Orange is the color of win, W-I-N.
W-I-N.
Like, I am a triumphant champion.
Yes.
Because I have an orange monitor.
And an orange computer.
It just looks tacky.
Yeah, but this monitor sports a 50,000-to-1 contrast ratio.
Yeah, and it's funny because our producer just picked up an orange piece of paper that had Clemson paws on it. Proof that orange is not the color of win. And that one's for Chuck and Betsy. I hope you're listening. They're going to kill me. And for all you Clemson fans out there, I'm kidding. Maroon is not the color of win either. I'm sorry, guys. I got a piece of ironic news for you, Chris.
Okay.
Oh, and we got to talk about that Time Warner thing. Pirate Bay.
Oh, yeah. I saw a blur, but I skipped over it because usually, you know, it's the same old thing. But my mind was like, is that a typo? Did they get the things backwards?
Okay, for those of you that don't know, Pirate Bay is the self-proclaimed largest tracker of BitTorrent torrents.
And not the good kind of BitTorrents, like, you know, WoW patches and Linux updates. It's like movies
illegal
and
software.
Music
yeah.
and all the stuff that... Yeah, I'll talk about that later.
Yeah, he's talking about porn.
George, it's his fault that more porn is being purchased right now because the study was just done that the economic stimulus package has...
People bought porn with their money?
People bought porn with their checks, yes. I'll have to cite the study.
I am
But the largest spike in our economy has happened in the adult industry.
Wow.
By an average of, can you guess how much?
$600?
$600.
Okay, no, not going there. Anyway, Pirate Bay...
I'm just reporting the news. I don't
make
this stuff up.
Yeah, you do. The Pirate Bay is... announced its intention to file for damages against the International Federation of Phonographic Industry. What is that? The International Federation of Phonographic Industry, IFPI. It's an organization which, besides having an awkward name, claims to represent the interests of recording industries worldwide. The website wants compensation for the traffic that was blocked by a Danish ISP. Great pastries.
Horrible internet service, I guess.
Yeah. A court ruled that it had assisted copyright infringement. Now, a lot of places have been, because didn't we talk about Malaysia last week, shut down all links to Pirate Bay and some other places for you know, software. I'm sure China doesn't let any of that stuff through, right? No piracy in China.
There's no piracy in China.
No, not at all. 80%.
Yeah. There's more pirated software in China than purchased software anywhere else in the world.
It's true.
Combined.
80% of software in China has been reported as being pirated. So. Not by the government, because they say there is no piracy. Anyway... Yeah, so Pirate Bay is basically that's like Captain Jack Sparrow suing the British colonial government for damages because they dinged his ship.
Didn't they try to sink it?
Arr!
Wow,
that'd be infringement of my right to travel. It be. So yeah, that's kind of a little irony. Now, in a related news story, we've got the whole Time Warner thing.
Yes, do expand on that. It gives me great displeasure to hear such things, because
well,
it furthers my belief that all things in this world are being motivated by greed, and it's sad.
Now, this is a conspiracy theory, and this is speculation. Now, we've talked about Time Warner in Texas has got a new test market where they're basically limiting the amount of bandwidth that you get with your account. Anything over that, you have to pay for. It's like $1 a gigabyte over 5 gigabytes.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. Last week.
And people have been up in arms about this. But what this is going to do, say some, it's basically when you go over your cap because you're downloading illegal software or MP3s or movies or porn or whatever, they're going to make money off of your extra bandwidth. So when you download that 8 gigabyte video game that you don't want to legally pay for because you're a bad person and no one's going to ever love you and you're 20 pounds overweight, Time Warner's going to make like $5 or $6 off of that.
I'm going to cry.
Not you. You're skinny.
And I don't download games.
Yeah,
we
work at a game store. We don't have to. We get that stuff legally.
But we do download lots and lots and lots of patches to those games.
Yeah, but that's legal stuff.
Yeah, but if we go over, because we have to download several 300 megabyte patches, where there's one for WoW, there's one for Age of Conan, one for Call of Duty 4, we have 70 games and 70 patches and the Windows patches on all those machines, and we stream music. I mean, we must do, you know, a gigabyte a day just streaming.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And,
I'll give you that.
Yeah, and just streaming audio to the store. And there's no talent. There's no way for us to really count how much other stuff we do.
Now, so basically, go ahead.
At home, when I'm at home, we have a CD collection that it's ridiculous.
Right.
It's a ridiculous CD collection.
It is ridiculous.
But we don't listen to the CDs. I usually stream.
All the MP3s.
You know, I'll stream music in my room, and Amanda will be streaming music in her room, and Mandy will be watching these cute videos on Cute Overload.
Oh.
So the three of us?
I'm judging you, Mandy.
Actually, they're pretty darn cute.
They're too cute.
They're too cute, yeah. And sort of like watching an episode of Oprah. You can't help but tear up just a little bit.
Or get a ham sandwich that's under your chair.
Finger.
The
video with the lion. Do you see that?
I haven't seen the lion video.
It's touching.
Does anyone out there know what Chris is talking about right now? I don't. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, I could very quickly see how someone would jump to the conspiracy conclusion that these ISPs are gonna make more money from capping bandwidth because you're, you know, downloading stuff from the internet, paying for that extra bandwidth above and beyond your plan.
I said this last week about this, or rather when we were talking about it. If I have an unsecure wireless network and my neighbor is using it to download who knows what.
Streaming videos from YouTube, you're tanked. You're toast.
Streaming videos from YouTube or legitimately buying songs off iTunes and uses my bandwidth. And I go over my cap because my neighbor is using my bandwidth.
Well, you're paying.
I don't want to pay for that.
Can you sue him for damages?
I don't know.
I wouldn't.
I know I can't sue Microsoft for more than $5.
Oh, we got such a discussion at the store today.
We won't go into that.
Yeah, we won't, because we're all friends here.
But speaking of YouTube and bandwidth and clicking on videos, did you hear what Viacom is getting from Google?
No.
Google, which owns YouTube. Viacom has sued Google.
Oh.
And has requested in their discovery phase of this court battle they basically want a large chunk of information. It's a list of things they want. Basically, they want the database of every video that's ever been watched on YouTube, the IP addresses and usernames of all the people that have posted and watched all the videos. 12 terabytes of data.
What?
And the judge says, you know, that'll fit on 3 desktop hard drives. Sure, yeah, you can get that from Google.
Wait, 12 terabytes on 3 desktop hard drives?
Well, yeah, yeah. According to this guy.
He is on crack and playing video games.
I don't know.
Drives aren't that big yet.
They're up to two terabytes, but not, yeah, not 4 terabytes.
But okay. Anyway,
I'm reading from the article.
Yeah.
But all your personal data belong to Viacom.
Wow, the giant megalomaniacal media monster.
Yeah, I'm not too happy about this. Google is trying to withhold this because they're trying to cite protection from the DMCA, which also is ironic. But
wow.
Yeah, interesting stuff.
That's scary.
So, all the times that we've clicked and watched Chocolate Rain.
They're going to know who's been, they're going to know every person on the planet who's been Rickrolled.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
They say they're doing this so that they can find out and prove whether or not illegal or copyrighted material is viewed more than non-copyrighted material. So,
wow. Well, that awesome music shows us that it is time to pay the bills.
Yes, we do like the lights in here.
You're listening to WOIC 1230 AM or streaming live from thatcomputershow.net. Don't forget to call in with questions at 803-742-1230 and stay tuned so we can fill in the gaps and cover all the cool stuff we missed in the first two segments. Sit tight. That Computer Show will be right back after the break.
Remember the days when you had a mechanic that worked solely on your car, someone you trusted and knew by name? Those days are back. His name? Randy Tootin, the owner of CV Rebuilders and Auto Repair. Randy Tootin takes pride in providing expert service, specializing in remanufactured CV joints, axles, and complete auto repair. CV Rebuilders Auto Repair skilled mechanics understand today's complex engines and get repairs done right the first time, which includes marine engines as well. Before you go to the lake, make sure your engine's in proper working order. CV Rebuilders and Auto Repair is a full line of mechanics that understand that too. CV Rebuilders and Auto Repair. Your hometown mechanic is back. CV Rebuilders and Auto Repair.
CV Rebuilders and Auto Repair has now moved to a new location. Visit them at 1268 Main Street, South Congaree. Give them a call at 955-9599. That's 955-9599.
Your local Rheem contractor likes to keep things simple, so here are the facts. When you're cold, you want a heating system that will keep you warm. And when you're hot, you want a cooling system that will keep you cool. We recommend Rheem package units, which do just that. Rheem package units combine high-quality air conditioning and heating systems into one compact unit. Save money with a dependable, all-in-one comfort of a compact Rheem package unit. Financing available. Call Tri-City Fuel and Heating at 796-9172 and experience big savings in a small package.
You know those cool special effects that make digital photos look like film strips, oil paintings, or pencil sketches? Ever wonder how they're done? Well, I'm about to let you in on the secret. Graphics professionals do all that magical stuff with one little click using plugins from Alien Skin Software. They've been making photo filters and design plugins since 94, and now they're making them available to try for free for 30 days. Download your demo for Adobe Photoshop, Photoshop Elements, or Corel Paint Shop Pro plugins at alienskin.com. Alien Skin.
Touch it, bring it, pay it, watch it, turn it, leave it, stop, format it, buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, chart it, point.
And we are back from the break, completely unprepared and drinking too many energy drinks. That's us, ladies and gentlemen. Actually, I got a couple of cool things I wanted to chat about on the third segment. 4th of July, fireworks. Okay.
Sorry, giggling the video I just saw.
Yes, the video of the. Okay, so fireworks, which I do want to talk about that. What else? Food and beer.
Mm.
Lots and lots of beer.
Yummy.
Now, I've got a got a device here. I found this on device.com. This is the Sci-Fi Channel's the website dedicated to cool technology devices. It's Mr. Asahi. Japan's
Ooh.
Diabolical plan to rule the world via beer and robots. This may actually be Robot Wars news, ladies and gentlemen.
I will succumb to our beer-serving robot overlords.
Yeah. Filed under jobs you thought humans would always have comes more bad news from your future robot masters.
You want some more?
There you go, exactly. Oh, from the fifth element, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Asahi can serve beer by the glass or by the bottle, and will even indulge you with a bit of localized small talk to take the edge off drowning your sorrows in front of a tin can. Now, the robot is $200,000, and it made its debut in England, the home of the pint. And it's a very friendly-looking robot that gives you Asahi beer for only $200,000.
I think if you spend $200,000 on a beer-serving robot, you probably have things you need to talk about.
Yeah, but you probably get free beer. They probably give you a six-pack free, like a complimentary thing.
Yeah.
You want some more? That's funny. That was awesome. So, next 4th of July, you might not be serving up those cold ones yourself. You might be going down to your local robo-bartender.
Or to the hospital.
Drop it.
There was, on Gizmodo again, love this site, was some PSA announcements, the little public service announcements videos done. And it has some clips from these announcements. what not to do with fireworks. And basically, they had some mannequins, and I think the people that produced the video...
They weren't mannequins, they were simulated humans.
Okay, they were plastic simulated humans.
Like they did with the old nuclear tests in the 50s.
Yeah. And the videos were hilarious. But, you know, like, there were some safety thing message underneath the exploding mannequins, but basically they had...
His face exploded!
Yes, but they had what amounts to a mortar tube style... firework, which, you know, you can buy at the firework stand, and a mannequin peering down into the tube as it goes off, which is, you know, pretty much a no-no, or you're going to write yourself off with a Darwin Award, because this thing blew the head right off, I mean, it shattered the head off the mannequin.
Yes.
Very disturbing. And then they played it back in slow motion, and we all giggled. And my favorite, though, that one's great, with the one where the fireworks falls over on its side and shoots 15 Roman candle looking things at
sets
grandma.
The poor
and
guys, the crotch on fire.
It's interesting where the fire started, but yeah.
It burns when I pee. That was horrible.
That was bad.
So if you don't have anything better to do, go and look that up. Those PSA announcements are awesome. They're better than the old G.I. Joe PSA announcements back in the day.
I don't know, the ones where they remixed.
No, those are funny.
Those are funny.
Those are not safe for radio.
No, they're not.
Oh, goodness. Wow. So two things for your 4th of July or 5th of July enjoyment. Don't shoot fireworks at your friend's crotch. And next year you might be getting beer from a robot.
Interesting stuff. Yes. If you have $200,000 to drop on it.
Wow. Or if you know, so maybe you and some buddies can go in halvesies or something. But you have to wonder, how long is it going to be until a Coors Light robot for $50 comes out?
I don't know.
Because, you know. Quality.
Cheap beer,
cheap robots.
It'll probably break after the first one, give you a headache the next day.
spill it on you. Yeah. Put the fire out, though. That'd be good.
Hopefully.
Oh, dear.
I don't know how. I'm. Yeah.
So, what about all those people who wanted to watch TV outside this 4th of July?
Oh, yeah. I had a link to an article about solar-powered LCD panel.
Yeah, this is cool.
Yeah, part of Sharp's recent efforts to shove itself in front of the forefront of solar innovation.
Mm.
They came out with basically a solar-powered liquid crystal TV.
Wow.
10,001 contrast ratio. It's a 20-millimeter thick panel. It's the panel's designed to be really efficient. It only uses about 30% of the power that a regular TV does. It's kind of awesome. So you could basically tailgate. And instead of having to bring a generator with you, you just pop this thing on the top of the truck. Now, granted, I'm sure this TV is probably not impervious to barbecue sauce. You remember last year we had a gentleman bring...
Oh, the teriyaki LCD TV. I'd forgotten about that.
We had a gentleman bring a TV in to be cleaned because he'd spilt teriyaki. And I still don't know how he got that much teriyaki sauce.
Yeah, it wasn't just a little.
Inside the TV... It's without opening the TV up and pouring the whole bowl.
Not even a 3-year-old could get that much teriyaki sauce into...
You'd be surprised how much teriyaki sauce a working, you know, $1,200 LCD panel can
hold. Did it work? It turned on.
Oh, yeah, it was working fine.
It just was sticky and sweet-smelling.
Yeah.
It was gross.
I'm kind of maybe hungry working on it, though.
It did, though. Gosh, I wanted to get some...
Wings.
Go to the mall and... Anyway, wow. Yeah. The teriyaki. I had forgotten about the teriyaki TV.
I will never forget. Yeah. I will never forget. I smelled of teriyaki for the whole day.
Always remember.
Yes.
Oh, goodness.
Did you see the Lego head egg timer?
No.
It's a...
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's just a blurb.
It's a big Lego egg head.
I'm from the Lego generation. I loved Legos when I was a kid. And I kept losing the heads to the little people, so I had to put other blocks on there. You know, and just made up that they were robots with really big square heads. But this is an actual Lego head that's slightly oversized.
Slightly?
Well, you know.
It's bigger than Eric's head.
That was low.
We were giving him such a hard time last night.
He did get a haircut, and the size of his head looked like it shrank.
He looked really good. The reason we were giving him such a hard time was mainly so nobody would make fun of me.
Yeah, you also had a haircut, and your head shrank, too.
I looked like that guy on Beetlejuice, the shrunken head guy when they're in the waiting room in hell.
Ooh, you're number two, and I'm number 317,506.
Oh, they took a little bit too much off the top, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, you're kind of missing you some curls there.
About 20 pounds worth. I like the haircut. It's just a dramatic, because I hadn't gotten a haircut in like 9 months. And yeah, lots of hair gone, so.
And here we are picking on each other. But more about the Viacom thing. I reread the article, and it does say 3 over-the-shelf, 4-terabyte hard drives. So I got to looking. Where are these 4-terabyte hard drives?
Hitachi just came out with the 2s.
I know. And Hitachi's saying that they'll have 4-terabyte drives. On their site, it says by 2011. Other sites say as early as 2009.
Yeah.
But they're both not over the shelf.
Or under the shelf. Judge fail.
And fail in all counts. I don't want Viacom to know
how
many videos I've watched.
That's such an obvious over-the-top move to get personal demographic information.
It is. That's information that you would pay a third-party company to do research for. Now, granted, if I had signed or clicked a box on Google's webpage saying, hey, it's okay that people know that I'm watching this video, that's fine. It's YouTube. And then Google says, well, we might give out this data in an anonymous fashion for market research.
Like Nielsen, YouTube Nielsen ratings.
Exactly. And that would be fine. But the fact that Viacom is using legal means to basically gather the biggest database of demographic information.
Someone should sue them for misusing our government's judicial system.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to do that.
It's a $1 billion lawsuit, and this data is worth a lot more than that.
I'm going to make a deal. I'm only going to sue Viacom for $200 million.
That's a small chunk of change.
That's just representative of my watchings of Rick Rolling, the Rick Astley video, and I'm going to do this for everybody in the country, and I'm going to get them to stop it. I'm going to say no, Viacom, give me $200 million and don't take that data from Google. How does that sound?
Somehow I don't think they're going to agree with that. Yeah. I see Viacom as the same kind of company.
They would squish me.
As what was the name of the company that ran Detroit? New Detroit and RoboCop.
Oh, OCP.
OCP.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I. That's, these
have
companies.
30 seconds to comply.
These companies are bossing our government around like OCP. It's basically like, okay, judge, we want this from this company, and the judge says, well, no, you can't have this, but sure, you can have that.
Wow.
And I'm sure the judge is probably riding around in a new Cadillac or got a new vacation home somewhere.
Well, and we've only got a few more minutes left. I promised I'd cover a couple more of these great questions.
Yeah, let's field some more 4th of July computer support questions.
All right. And also, a real quick message from that computer store, the cake is a lie. This is a pop-up on my screen out of nowhere. This, in capital letters, the cake is a lie, so I guess I have to pass that on to
you.
Please
don't say that. I've been working so hard to get that cake. I've jumped through so many hoops.
Yes, Portal
Orange
hoops,
blue hoops.
Would you like to play Portal when we get back to the store?
I would love to play Portal.
Awesome. The fireworks are also a lie. Okay, so the fan on my computer is making a loud noise. What do I do? Easy. Get it fixed.
Yeah, if the fan is making noise, you have one or two options. You can deal.
Yeah.
And, go mad. Or you can have that fan replaced. They're really inexpensive. Yeah. Depending on where that fan, which fan that is. I mean, if it's your power supply fan, new power supply.
And it also may not be the fan itself. If you have pets or are around pets...
Or are a pet yourself.
Wookiees have this problem
all
so
the time. Man.
If I had a nickel for every Wookiee that brought a laptop in with a clogged fan, I would be broke. Basically, dust and pet hair and other funky stuff gets in there, and we can just take it apart and blow it out. I mean, probably half the time it's just a busted, just a clogged fan. But yeah, those parts are inexpensive. They're usually less than $100. If it's a new machine, it's probably either a clogged fan or something that would be covered by a warranty.
Yeah.
So just take it to somebody
real
and trust. Yeah, that's an easy one. Okay. Chris, help me with this one. How many pictures will my 2-gigabyte SD card hold?
Many. Many, many, many lots.
More than 10.
More than... A 2-gigabyte will probably hold nearly 10,000.
And what if you have a 10-megapixel camera?
If you have a 10 megapixel camera, it's going to hold a lot less than 10,000.
Yeah, because with higher megapixel cameras, the pictures are bigger, size wise.
Yeah, they need more space to store all the pretty pixels. The more pixels you have, the larger the data is going to be when it actually hits the flash drive or the storage medium.
Right.
So if you have, goodness, if you have a 10 gig or 2 gig flash drive, I know on my Canon 3 megapixel, I can do 1,400 pictures.
Yeah.
I think it's the highest it will count.
Yeah, I just can't
count. Camera.
Now, it also depends on the quality. You know, is it fine or normal quality or finger paint quality, whatever the quality level you pick.
I always have my camera set the absolute highest quality.
Oh, yeah.
Because I got a stinking 2 gig chip in there.
And memory is really inexpensive right now.
And
I don't even remember how cheap it is.
At the highest settings, I get 1,400 pictures on a 2 gig chip with my Canon 3 megapixel.
Wow. Okay, I got time for one more question, and then it looks like our show's over for this week. How did my 4-year-old son duplicate all the icons on my desktop 10 times?
Very easily, with the stroke of a mouse.
Yeah, he highlighted your icons.
He selected your icons by dragging with the left click button.
Mm-hmm.
And then dragging them ever so, maybe one or two pixels even, and then letting go. And Windows goes, he just selected all these items and moved them 2 inches. I'm going to make a copy.
It's Windows trying to help you. It's called context-sensitive computing, but it backfired. Basically, the programmers at Microsoft said, yeah, if a 4-year-old is going to copy all these icons, this will be the most annoying outcome. So this is what we'll make the default action to be.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's an accident. There are a couple things you can do to change that behavior, but honestly, just beat your 4-year-old.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Yeah, severely.
Well,
with a tutu.
I don't know.
I'm kidding. I'm joking. They know that. But, oh, gosh, somebody's going to sue me for that. Maybe even Viacom.
Do they have our IP address? They probably do.
As many times as we've Rickrolled people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
It's on file, and we're probably going to hear the sirens of Viacom coming crashing down on us.
Yeah. It looks like it's that time. We must now don our capes and tights and fly back to that computer store where we have to call our lawyers and prepare our defense from Viacom. Listen in next week, Saturday at 1 p.m. on 1230 a.m., or catch us at thatcomputershow.net to download past episodes, get reviews, and read up on all sorts of insane news. Also, check us out on iTunes. Our shows are going to start being populated on iTunes within the next week.
Excellent.
Or so. Don't forget to hit us with your call-in questions at 803-742-1230, and tune in next week. Until then, this is Steven.
And this is Chris.
And you've been listening to
That Computer Show.